motherfucker. That's right, motherfucker. Turn me on, TJ.
You're on.
Turn me on, TJ.
You're on.
I'm fired up.
No, he means like turned on sexually.
I'm ready to fucking go tonight, TJ.
Oh, turn him on sexually.
I've been low energy.
Hold on. I'm going to whip my nipple out here. Should be. There you go.
I don't.
I mean, I'm kind of hard now.
I mean, you know, it's the best I got.
Reluctantly.
Sorry.
Half hard. Thanks, TJ.
Reluctant half chub.
Dude, I was thinking of cake. Reluctantly hard at the starting line.
Boner throbbing. And I don't know.
Bobbing.
Bobbing
and throbbing. Yeah, dude.
Yeah. Bobbing. That's a good word.
It's a good one for dicks, too, because they bob.
You're a good rhymer, Paul.
I know, dude. I busted a pretty fat rhyme in the pre-show.
You did. By the way, for all you people who are not $10 patrons, our pre-show's just getting better and fucking better.
They're getting crazier as time goes on.
On this last pre-show we just did,
it was off the chain.
It was off the fucking
dude, our pre-show,
emotional roller coaster.
Our pre-show greatness is up at least
15%. Scotty finally came to terms with his brutal rape. It's pretty good.
It's true. It happened live on the internet.
Only you $10 people are good enough to see.
Yeah, only the 10 people.
Even the $5 people are not good enough.
Not good enough.
It's not there yet, though.
Filthy.
Because for some reason, our pre-show comes out after our regular show.
Yeah, it's the world's first post-pre-show.
Yeah, we should maybe just start calling it that. Welcome to the post-pre-show.
You know what, TJ, while this is going on, why don't you...
Shot before, but released after.
Exactly.
You can put it up for people. You could actually do it.
I could do it right now?
You can multitask at some point. Yeah.
I don't want to multitask. I want a single task.
Well, you're single-minded, so that makes a lot of sense.
I am a single-minded, trapped-in-my-ways sort of person. I mean, that's how I roll.
Are you ambidextrous, TJ?
I kind of am. Do you want to see a demonstration?
Are you ambisexual, TJ?
I am.
We know that about you.
I am I'm the sum of all humanity. I have every attribute known to humankind. No, but I am ambidextrous.
Stupidity and brilliance, TJ?
Yes, exactly.
You can smoke weed with both hands.
Check this out. Yeah. Normally, I'd light this with my right hand, but I'm going to light it with my left hand.
I mean, I could light a J with my left hand.
No, I don't think so.
Dude,
I don't think
he's proven his talent.
Oh, by the way, Paul, I'm catching up to you, bitch.
Oh, what's that?
I'm going to show you. You remember your little party trick?
Oh, yeah. Have you been working on it?
I've been practicing. I'm not there yet.
All right.
But I can kind of get there.
Oh, that's not bad, TJ.
Oh, dude, he's coming
for
you.
I'm still not perfect.
Yeah. It takes time
to
get it automatic. That's good.
I'm getting there.
I'm impressed.
Eventually, one day, you're going to break out that party trick and be like, that ain't no fucking big deal. That ain't shit. Yeah, you're still the master. I'm not going to deny it, but I'm saying I'm coming for you, Paul.
I'm smoking a joint, talking to you.
And doing it. So Paul is a multitasker.
And have not stuttered yet. I'm just telling you, TJ, it's impossible to be as good at it as I am, but keep trying, buddy.
Well, one day I'm going to get there.
You're climbing that hill.
And I'm still working on my other skill, too. My talking with my tongue out of my mouth.
With my tongue out of my mouth.
Yeah, I'm going to get really good at it. Fuck you, Paul.
I don't have enough tongue.
Fuck you in the ass.
You have a long ass fucking snake of a tongue.
My name is Pizza.
I'm tongue tied, dude. I was born tongue tied. And they snipped it, but not enough. So I barely got any fucking tongue, dude.
We should just do an all tongues out episode.
I agree. Let's
do this episode like that. Why not?
How does fucking God hate me?
Why?
He gives me a smallish dick.
A small dick?
And doesn't even give me a long tongue to subsequently. Yeah. He gives me a stumpy,
silence,
short-ass
you
tongue.
Crook-nosed knave.
I remember when I was a kid, I was you know, my stepdad, Steve, and shit.
Yeah.
So I was out in the hallway one day, and I was, like, probably 8 or 9 or something, and I was sticking my tongue out for some reason or another, and I was just, like, sitting there, like, like a fucking retard, and Steve's like, you gonna make some bitch real happy with that tongue one day. And I was like, what? What does that mean?
Little did you know.
I was like, does that make you better at kissing? You know, like some shit. I got it a few years later. I'm like,
he meant pussy.
He meant I could eat the pussy real good.
He wasn't talking about,
Yeah. I'm tongue-tied, too. My tongue tied around that clitoris, bitch.
Tied around in a
tied
little bow.
Tied around it. Tied right around. Yeah, God did give me a small dick, though.
So I mean, whatever. Yeah,
one out of two ain't bad.
He gave you a good tongue, but he gave you less dick.
Yeah, I think I'd do the switch.
Would you trade your whole tongue thing for a little stumpy,
Like a little
like this much. Like I have more than this, but like yeah, that much. Like
I don't know.
Just barely enough to like.
That's like a kind of thing I feel like I could consult Chelsea on. Like Chelsea, I have the opportunity to have like a 20 million foot dick.
Yeah.
But
I think you'd say
it wouldn't be 20 million feet.
20 million feet.
No, because that's 20
million
retarded.
Feet. All right, that's
so
absurd.
Let's say, I don't know, 7.5 to 8 inches
yeah,
of dick.
And decently thick.
Right. A decently thick, respectable looking cock. Not the biggest, most threatening dick you've ever seen.
But a good two-hander.
Yeah. Something
you know
that
I mean?
You know, something you could fucking
a
really
two-hander.
Wrap your hands around and shit.
Yeah.
But I got to sacrifice some tongue. A little less tongue. That's what we got. And I got to, you know, I don't know. I got to ask Chelsea about it because it's really.
It would be up to her.
It's more, I mean,
she's
like.
She's going to benefit more
yeah,
than
yeah, more than me.
Right.
You know, I could still fucking come with a small dick, so.
That's true.
But you know what, TJ? You'd have a lot more pride in yourself.
What
like
a great segue into tonight's show.
Anyway.
Just kidding.
Tonight's show is about the Dark Ages.
So. 2001.
Dark Ages. 2001?
September 11th, 2001.
What?
What?
What does that
I pulled research
dark
about
ages?
The Dark Ages.
Oh.
That's when they started.
Oh, you're talking about the second Dark Ages.
Oh.
I meant the original
oh,
Dark
shit.
Ages. So I pulled all the wrong images and shit for
well,
this.
Well, fuck. Hold on. Let me pull up the Wikipedia page then. All right.
Yeah,
we're
yeah.
ready to go.
Yeah, Wikipedia
all right,
is
thank
fire
God.
Up.
Shoo.
Thank
luckily,
God
research
for Wikipedia.
Doesn't take
research
too long.
Is so much easier
by the way,
now
guys,
that you can just steal from Wikipedia, dude.
Every day, millions of people use Wikipedia. Wikipedia is a resource and tool for millions of people in the developing world. People can't afford Wikipedia. And to keep Wikipedia added for free, I asked you right. I'm just fucking you guys. We're not doing a pitch for Wikipedia.
Oh. Well, shit.
I thought our show was just a pitch for Wikipedia.
Right?
Wikipedia, the show. All they do is read Wikipedia.
It is a useful resource.
No. The end of the world began in AD 476.
Dun, dun, dun.
When Odo Acer, I don't know how to pronounce this dude's name.
Odo Acer.
Odo Acer.
Odo Acer.
Odo Acer.
Odo
I don't know.
Something.
Deposed.
Deposed Emperor. Emperor.
Emperor.
Romulus.
I am Emperor.
I am Emperor Ramamumu.
Ramamumu.
The great. Fuck, man.
You're fucked now.
Yeah, I'm done now. It's
done.
Over. You can't
right,
recover from this.
Episode's over. The end.
Let's make it about little dicks again, then.
Yeah.
No.
We were doing
little
so much
dick.
Better with the little dick
little
topic.
Dick.
So anyway, in 476, this guy sacked the city of Rome, and basically the center of the civilized world as we knew it fell. And this is what commonly is known as the beginning of the Dark Ages. Now, one of the things I learned about the Dark Ages and researching it is that historians put its start and end all over the fucking place.
They don't really like to call it the Dark Ages too much either.
Well, we'll talk about
okay,
that.
Okay, we're going to talk about
that. Yeah, we're going to, because like, I really, as I researched this, it became kind of less about, it's still about the Dark Ages, but it's more about kind of how they differed from what we commonly were taught and what we think. Because I really thought, you know, kind of up until researching this, that most of what I knew about the Dark Ages was pretty true. And it turns out that I might be wrong about that.
Doesn't that seem to always happen on this fucking show?
Right. Yeah, it really is. Like, it's funny because we don't really go super in-depth into a topic. But we go in-depth enough that I personally learn shit in doing the show, so I know there's got to be people out there that watch us that have learned some shit from us.
Well, there's a lot of pop culture ideas about different time periods, because I mean, obviously you're gonna get like a representation that like, okay, this is what a filmmaker thinks, that you know, and obviously it's gonna be made contemporary enough for people to follow what's going on, and they're not gonna get too nuanced with it. So we always have these kind of preconceived notions going in, like back in the year 473, they lived like this, you know, and it's very primitive.
Well, that's
even,
really
even more
what
so
this
primitive.
Is. This beginning part that I'm reading,
dude, there was
is
a
that.
Fucking monkey there.
Cool.
Look at this fucker.
Whoa. Dude, that's a black guy, man. He's a Moor.
That's
you
not
can't,
no Moor,
you can't you can't compare a black dude to a monkey.
He's not black. Look at
that's
him.
A black dude.
That is
dude.
Just literally a fucking monkey. And there's a lion back there, too. What the
okay,
fuck?
Okay, that is creepy.
That's not a person's face, dude.
That is creepy. That looks like a Khajiit.
Yeah. What is a Khajiit?
You want some skooma?
What is this thing? There's all kinds of weird shit going on in this painting.
Yeah.
It's like dead bodies or something.
I mean, that was
and
pretty common back then, yeah. Yeah. People would just roll your body into the street and wait for somebody else to deal
with
it. So this is kind of the idealized version. This is kind of what I was taught. And what I think most of us think the beginning of the middle or the Dark Ages was. This barbarian king sacks the city of Rome. Its occupants are put to the sword. The barbarian tribes move in. Rome is now gone, and a chain of unstoppable events is unleashed. Libraries fell into disrepair. The unifying languages, Greek and Latin, fell out of use, and people could no longer communicate with one another.
No, Paul, I said to cover the fucking original Dark Ages, not the ones that started in 2001.
This is actually those. It just happened again.
Oh, okay. So that's, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
We call both the Dark Ages. Yeah,
we're just doing it again.
Right. I see.
Yeah. That's another spooky thing about this that I learned, is that there are a lot of parallels between then and now.
Okay. Fun.
So basically, with Rome gone, the centralized, you know, way that language was distributed across the world was gone, and that part of the world was gone. And everything fell into disrepair, and knowledge became hard to come by.
Well, it's a cultural vacuum at that point.
Right. Nobody could keep up the great conversation, as he calls it in this writing, or make scientific discoveries. The architecture and learning and thoughts of the empire were completely forgotten in the wake of its fall from greatness, plunging the world into darkness. So that is kind of true, as I've found. Like I said, historians now have a lot of different things that they point to. This is one of them. A lot of different timelines that they point to for the beginning of the Middle Ages. Now that's really what they call them. The Dark Ages has fallen out of vogue as a word. And the reason for that, we're going to talk about that quite a bit tonight, because that really was more interesting than just giving you guys what you would get on the Discovery Channel. Watching something
Rome
about medieval
falls,
times, like,
you know, yeah, that guy.
You know, we got a little bit of that too, but I really thought it was way more interesting to me was that the Dark Ages weren't really as dark as some people said they were, and a lot of the things that we know about them is kind of wrong. So the genesis of the Dark Ages is kind of complicated. Historians started mentioning this period of history as dark, and they did so because of the backward and depleting ways, customs and practices that prevailed after the fall of the Roman Empire. With this huge political collapse, the European society was forced to fall into the clutches of feudalism, and the continuous struggles between barbarians, Vikings, and various feudal nobles devastated the peace of common men, while the common men were forced to lead their lives as serfs.
So you had this big superpower in Rome.
Yep.
That was tyrannical in many respects, but was also this stabilizing influence and was a very advanced civilization.
Right.
And then the Roman Empire fell, and it, of course, left a huge vacuum in power, which set all kinds of warring factions against each other.
Well, I think it's really about, I mean, yeah, it's definitely a stabilizing force, but it's the loss of knowledge. It's like the Romans were building roads, they were building aqueducts, they were building all these things, and like those structures and the mathematics behind them, like people don't know that anymore. So it's like, everything gets a little more primitive. It kind of has like a reversal in that instead of using this knowledge, which you know, the Greeks and Romans discovered, that's not being applied anymore. It's just like people are building very basic structures. People are living a lot more primitively.
That's true and untrue, as I've found. And we'll look at some of that a little later. But there was a lot of shit invented during the Dark Ages. And a lot of progress was made in terms of tools and...
I call it the corpse shovel.
I mean, yeah.
Use it what to scoop the corpses in the wagon a little easier.
Well, with buildings in particular, I mean, maybe that there's some research you found that I haven't found, but as far as tall structures being built, I don't think they was matched by
about
the 19th century.
There were certain aspects that were stunted in comparison to
But it wasn't a totally lost time period.
No, absolutely. And that really is what I thought it was. Well, my picture going into this, and maybe I was alone in this, of the Middle Ages and the Dark Ages, was that
nothing happened.
People were mostly stupid. They died pointless, violent lives, and there was no learning because the collapse of Rome had basically blown out the lights. Oh. Nothing of interest got invented. There was no, you know, and that really is where the untruth is.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I definitely agree. There's a kind of a cultural perception where people think that there was no social progress. I mean, like, progress was made. I mean, look, it. Obviously, periods like this, I'm sure, have existed since human civilization.
We'd still be
existed.
In the Dark Ages if progress wasn't made in the Dark Ages.
That's what I'm saying. Right. Yeah, the progress had to be made. Things did move
forward.
We
did get out of it.
So I wanted to know who coined the term. Mm-hmm. Like, who was the first person known to have said the Dark Ages?
Uh-huh.
Because it seems to be something that's so controversial amongst historians now. In fact, most of them will say now that it's a total misnomer and it shouldn't be used anymore. They call it the Middle Ages now.
Yeah.
But the first person to use it was actually way back when, not contemporary with the Dark Ages, but kind of. Well, actually, yeah. According to some timelines, he'd be right in smack dab in the Dark Ages.
Towards the end, yeah.
His name was Petrarch.
Petrarch!
Ah, Francisco Petrarca.
Dude, I like him.
It's white guilt me, dude.
Dude, he looks like the male Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
I don't know if we mentioned this, but what is the exact time period that the Middle Ages or Dark Ages are?
I can't answer that. Okay. I didn't even write them down because it would have just been me going, it's either this to this or this to this or this to this. There's no consensus on when this started or began. There's a general range starting around the fall of Rome.
And
sometimes ending a few hundred years after that, and sometimes ending closer to 500 years after that.
It's about the 5th century to, what, about the 8th century?
Yeah, and that's really kind of the zone, but there's some that go a little outside of that in either direction. And it was just kind of hard for me to find a definitive answer to that, so I just didn't. I was just, you know.
Yeah, it can be pretty difficult.
Lazy,
but this is, but no, I mean, honestly, because it would just have been reading off dates. But this guy, according to a lot of the popular thinkers, this guy was towards the end of the Middle Ages. Francesco Petrarca, whose anglicized name is Petrarch. That's what we'll be calling him tonight because it's easier than
Well, according to Wikipedia,
yeah.
They say the Middle Ages, well, they say the early Middle Ages were from 580 to 1080.
Right.
Okay, sure.
So that's what I'm saying.
That's just the early Middle Ages.
And I didn't want us to be Wikipedia the show, so I went and looked to make sure there was corroborating evidence. What I found was a lot of different stabs at that time period.
But roughly from 500 to 1080.
Yeah, it's a good zone. Anyway, Petrarch, he was basically, as he was raised, he showed a real interest in literature, despite, you know, trying his hand at other things.
He showed a real interest in fashioning fucking headwear out of leaves as well.
You don't even know, dude. You might fucking laugh right now, TJ, but that was probably the coolest.
Dude, that was a dapper dude back in the day.
I still think he looks kind of cool.
Yeah, I think he does too.
He's got it's kind of dorky. I mean, it was the Dork Ages, so.
So he was studying law kind of in the shadow of his father. He kind of hated it. When his dad died, he decided fuck that, and he moved to Rome. He left his family home, moved to Rome, and was really interested in the literature and culture of ancient Greece and ancient Rome. He became a cleric, which allowed him access to a lot of books that people wouldn't have access to, and that allowed him to read a lot of the classics. And he developed, during this time period, a kind of really super rosy view of that time, because he looked around at what society had become, and he said, you know, he felt like we needed to get back to that. So he became a big advocate of trying to return society to that classical Greek and classical Roman
era. A lot of the
Roman
ruins
era.
Of Rome would be around him, too.
He was kind of the Trump of his day.
I mean, he would be looking at the civilization that was previous to the one he's
make
living
Rome,
in
now. Make Rome
great
And
just,
great
like,
again.
Look at all the great structures that would still have existed back when he was alive. It's kind of like, damn, why aren't we like right. this again?
Dude, that leaf shit was the MAGA hat of the day, dude.
So as he learned more about the classical period, he began to venerate that era and rail against the limitations of his own time. Though he felt that he lived amid varied and confusing storms, Petrarch believed that humanity could once more reach the heights of past accomplishments. So he was really a regressive kind of thinker. He looked back at ancient Greece and ancient Rome, and he was like, we need to get back to that immediately. And he really advocated for that. That he was actually credited as being one of the people that was a foundational humanist. The doctrine that he espoused in a lot of his works became known as humanism.
Cool.
And I thought it would be kind of cool to read a little bit of his poetry for you, TJ.
Do it.
It's going to be real quick. There I stood, a-rapping, a-tap-a-tap-a-tapping. Sorry. Sorry, wrong poem. This is the Petrarch poem. Here we go. O you who hear within these scattered verses the sound of sighs with which I fed my heart. In my first errant youthful days when I, in part, was not the man I am today. For all the ways in which I weep and speak between vain hopes, between vain suffering,
In anyone who knows love through its trials, in them may I find pity and forgiveness. For now I see, since I've become the talk, so long a time of people all around, it often makes me feel so full of shame that from my vanities comes fruit of shame. And my repentance and clearest knowledge that worldly joy is a quick passing dream.
Wow. Powerful stuff.
Wow, man. That's pretty deep.
Almost as good as Nickelback, dude. Read you some Nickelback for comparison.
Oh, yeah?
I'm through with standing in line to clubs we'll never get in. It's like the bottom of the ninth, and I'm never gonna win. This life hasn't turned out quite the way I want it to be. I want a brand new house on an episode of Cribs, and a bathroom I can play basketball in, and a king-size tub big enough for 10 plus me. I'll need a credit card that's got no limit, and a big black jet with a bedroom in it. Gonna join the Mile High Club at 37,000 feet.
Hey, is that what people are going to be reading later when they look at our fucking era of time?
Yep.
Yeah. Here's Chad Kroeger, one of the great poets of the time.
Hey.
His classic.
I want to be a rock star.
Yeah. Fuck me, dude.
Good job. Well,
Petrarch's poetry really reflected kind of a lot of the thinking of Europe at the time, which is like, especially being involved in what he was involved in, which is like, in life, there's all these temptations and there's vanities, which I'm obviously, he probably had some success in his life, but it's like, oh, that's all fleeting. You know, ultimately, it's going to be your life in heaven.
Right.
And the temptations of the world will always tempt you, but you always need to stay grounded and humble.
So in one of his works, he actually coined what became the term the Dark Ages by referring to his time with the term dark. He said in this work, amidst the errors, there shone forth men of genius. No less keen were their eyes, although they were surrounded by darkness and dense gloom. So he never said, this is the Dark Ages. But that quote, being historically significant later, was what kind of started the meme, I guess. It started what became the Dark Ages.
Well, I mean, it was just his view of the time he lived in. Like he's one of those people that really longed to go back to that. Like, he saw that as like the penultimate civilization. And it's like, look, we're living in the ruins of a great civilization. This isn't really as good.
Right.
And we all kind of realized. I mean, no one looked at the Colosseum and all these wonders Rome had built and said, oh, we need to run away from that.
But if you listen to that quote, the refutation of how we understand the Dark Ages and how we throw that term around is right there in the quote.
Oh, yeah.
It's
completely.
You know, amidst the errors, there shone forth men of genius. No less keen were their eyes, although they were surrounded by darkness and dense gloom. And we took that, and really, historians, when they started using it, from what I could find, were not using it in the way that we think. They weren't like, oh, it was dark because it was death and ugliness and war and stupidity and ah. They were saying it was dark because histories weren't kept very well during that time. And so it was a period of darkness for them as historians in the historical record. Because once again, a lot of the things about that we know about the Dark Ages are true, and a lot of the books and stuff fell into disrepair and were stolen and burned and for various religious reasons, all these different factions,
yeah,
warring.
We don't have as many sources for those time periods because people
not many.
The record keeping just wasn't as good. I mean, well, like one of the things they tell you if you go on like the spaceship Earth is how a lot of stuff that when Rome did fall that was kept by Jewish and Arab scholars. So in Europe, because in Europe that kind of was almost became a lost art in a sense. So it's like we have all the stuff that's lost to time because we just don't know. I mean, obviously, when you read histories, I mean, like a lot of stuff we know about Rome, for example, even though they kept good records, we found out later to be innuendo or rumors, yeah, and stuff like that. So it's like history is always kind of viewed through like, we don't really know, but this is our best guess.
So before we move on from Petrarch here, there was another little quote from him that I thought was particularly striking about the time. In the conclusion of his epic Africa, he wrote, "My fate is to live amongst varied and confusing storms. But for you, perhaps, if I as hope and wish you will live along after me, there will follow a better age. This sleep of forgetfulness will not last forever. When the darkness has been dispersed, our descendants can come again in the former pure radiance."
Wow. And our modern day binary Chad Kroger also said, you know, it's never too late to shoot for the stars, regardless of who you are.
Wow.
So, wanted to put that out.
Can you pass that lighter over here?
Wanted
JJ?
To put that out there as well.
I mean, he really is the natural successor. He's the contemporary Petrarch.
Yeah, I'm putting it out there, Chad Kroger for contemporary Petrarch.
I mean, it's.
I mean,
not
it
in the
really.
It,
there's no.
I mean, I don't know who else could really fill the fucking
hey,
role.
Hey, I want to be a rock star, Chad Kroger.
So let's talk a little bit about what actually happened during the Dark Ages and what the power structure looked like.
Hitler
if there
fought
was
a
one.
T-Rex in the Dark Ages.
And to do that, we've got to talk about the schism, you know, Catholic versus Orthodox, kind of two views for how humanity should go forward. I think there's a picture of that, TJ, if you want.
This show is the dark age of TJ's career. I love it.
It is, TJ.
I love it.
Say right. Goodnight.
Say goodnight. Say goodbye. Soon you will die.
Go gently into that goodnight, TJ.
Look at these guys, man.
And these guys were actually born around the dark ages.
Yeah. So, like, that's why I pulled this, because...
Yeah, this is a painting from the dark ages, actually.
So after the fall of the Roman Empire, the European people faced a political disintegration and various new and small kingdoms evolved and tried to capture power over common people and capital. While the fall of the Roman Empire was considered as the fall of an imperial despotic power, it was subsequently replaced by various tyrants and despots. It was a period of wars and struggles between the barbarians, the Vikings, members of nobility, the Germanic powers, and the old Greece. So there was a lot of warring factions, as we alluded to earlier. And during this tumultuous period of political struggles, Christianity evolved as a strong religious movement that tried to unite the people of Europe. So really, this was the time when the church became ascendant. The Catholic Church and the Greek Orthodox Church became stability in a world that was otherwise torn apart by war and constantly shifting borders. And
oh, and it's clear when you look at the power structure of like how kingdoms were at that point. I mean, when you even fast forward 1,000 years, how kingdoms were won. The Pope had to, in Europe, say, you're the rightful leader of a country. I mean, the Catholic Church really seized power because, like you said, they're a stabilizing influence. They have that ability. I mean, they have, because ultimately they're a dictatorship.
I want to see the fucker on the right smash that staff down and be like, you shall not pass!
As far as the Greek Orthodox stuff, that obviously just kind of, you know, that didn't really go anywhere.
Didn't go nowhere.
But there was a big disagreement about the way things should be done between
the Catholics
these two
are like,
sides.
I think we should fuck little boys. And the East Orthodox are like, I think we should fuck little girls. Come on.
Yeah, let's just fuck, you know, they gotta have a pussy. They're kind of like, no!
No! God damn it! And that's what really caused
the
great
schism. Rome.
That was it, dude.
Different flavors of pedophilia for each church. Yep. Choose your side now.
So according to Orthodox Christians, this period of time represented Catholic corruption.
doesn't every period of time represent that?
So they blamed...
Show me the period of time that represents Catholics
time,
not being corrupt.
Well, that's easy. When the Catholic Church was formed, that period of corruption began. Before it existed, there was no
corruption.
Oh,
before there was a Catholic Church, there was no Catholic corruption. So that was the period of time free from
it.
Okay.
So they, meaning the Orthodox Christians, were directly against the increasing power of the Catholic Church, obviously, because it took away from theirs. And repudiated its ways and its papal doctrines and hierarchy. Orthodox Christians tried to recreate the magic of pure Christianity, where there wouldn't be any corrupt methods such as those that the Catholic
How'd
Church
How'd that
used.
Go?
Didn't work out well.
Oh, shit.
But they did press for church reforms, which later came as Protestant reform. So this was the beginning of the Protestant Reformation, which led to the another great split in the Catholic times. They thought that the Catholic papacy was basically the Antichrist. They we looked at Obama and knew that he was the Antichrist.
Right. Every age has got someone who's the Antichrist.
Right. And if it was anybody this Dude, age, it was Obama.
I had a fucking cousin who she's a super conservative, right? And she was going on this big tangent about, like, man, I can't wait till Hillary wins. Can't wait till Hillary wins. I'm like, why would my super conservative cousin want Hillary to win so bad?
Right.
And she's like, Oh, because she's the Antichrist, and it's going to start the end of the world, and finally we can have
the rapture.
The rapture. We can of all course. Get raptured. I'm like, oh, okay. So apparently if Hillary's the Antichrist is less competent than you would imagine.
Oh, shucks, right. I lost again.
I guess it's not God's will to bring about the rapture just yet.
Soon.
But, you know, very soon. It's coming right around the bend.
It's imminent.
So while the Orthodox Church looked at this period of time as a horrible time and pointed out all the abuses of the Catholic Church, the Catholics have a very different history of this time.
It's shocking to hear that.
I can't believe it.
They never recognized this period as dark. Rather, they considered that this period was a harmonious, peaceful, and productive religious era.
Wow.
Why wouldn't they?
I guess, you know.
Look, the Catholic Church went from, like, you know, being executed in the public square.
I mean, this was like their golden age.
To being accepted, to fucking being the most powerful organization in Europe. I mean, this is what fucking made them. This is what punched their fucking ticket, dude. Of course they're like, what are you talking about? This was fucking great for us. Look at all the shit we did.
So you had these two religious authorities that kind of gave people something they could look to that wasn't the whoever the baron was this month. You know what I mean? And that provided a level of at least political stability for them. It gave them something that they could all kind of hold hands across the borders with. And
well, there's a civic void. I mean, like with Rome, you had an army of bureaucrats. So this, you don't have them.
It completely collapsed. I mean, Rome was constantly expanding out and then paving the roads to these places so that all roads led to Rome. But then those roads fell into disrepair.
When you have that void, because no longer you can look at science, you can't look at civics, you don't have a bureaucrat, you don't have these grain supplies, you don't have all this shit. You have a fucking church, though, that's giving you something else. Like, look, life is hard. But there's like this spiritual nourishment. Like, you know what, guys? We know it's really hard, and maybe only 1 in 1,000 people will get to heaven. But if you're a good person, you follow these teachings, then you can. And they're feeding you. There's a lot of times where, like, the church would feed people. Like, they'd come, you know, to service, and like, here's some food.
Right.
So these people, I mean, really, that in their life, that's one of the only forces of good they see. So, of course, naturally, like, the church is going to gain power and prestige.
Yep. So we've taken a look at what the people had to look to for spiritual guidance and maybe political guidance in the church and kind of the war that went on there between those two churches. What do you guys know about feudalism?
I kind of have the stereotypical idea. It's like there's a feudal lord, and you basically had to work for the lord. There were serfs. They worked on his land.
Sure.
They had to give a certain amount of their food and grain or whatever it is to the lord.
Right.
They had to pledge their allegiance. They fight for the lord.
There was no buy-in shit or anything. It was just like, you know, you had a bunch of people who were farmers and shit.
One thing I know is lords actually have the only hearse. So you had to pay them to bake your bread, too.
Right.
It was stuff like that. So, I mean, they basically controlled most aspects of your life.
I mean, it was basically like what we saw later in America with, like, the company store kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, where, you know, you have someone who's basically your caretaker. You got to do all kinds of work for them. And in exchange for that work, they'll give you what you need to survive.
You're paid in Walmart dollars.
Right. So you didn't pay taxes under feudalism in money.
Yeah, you paid it in resources,
right? So goods and services. So either labor or whatever you made or the goods from your farm, that's how you paid your taxes to whatever the lord was. And those taxes were passed up the chain. So some of that went to the lord above the lord, and you know what I mean?
Right, because they had their own little hierarchy of nobility and shit.
So presents and taxes had to be given to the lords by their vassals. So if you worked the land, most of what you made on that land went straight to your lord.
Of course.
And you got enough to subsist on, basically. I actually found a video that explains this. I was looking for a slick... Actually, this is a pretty decent one. There's another one that I think I pulled.
I think this is the one you pulled for this section.
Okay.
Life in Medieval Britain.
I do have another video if you would rather play this.
Yes!
This is the one? Okay.
This is... You know, I think I put it under another side, but I think this explains feudal life better than any video on the internet, and it's short and sweet. You
cool,
ready?
Let's look at it.
Crank it up, TJ.
Yes, you gotta sleep in till 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, but we should get to work before our lord sees us not working.
Okay, I'll go get the tools. Hey, what do you think you're doing?
Digging weeds, my great lord.
Yeah. Damn, dude, I thought this time period was over.
Yeah, I know, dude. Isn't this fun?
Come on, get your backs into it. Yes, sir.
I don't want to get the dick, dude. He ain't doing nothing.
I sure wish we were nobles, or we could move to a different manor. Yeah, I know.
You think anything's going to be different at the next manor?
Yeah. Dig this hole at the next manor.
It looks like we should be getting going.
What? You just started. Paul, that video sucked.
No, keep going.
Okay. It's still going, I guess.
This is fun. Hey, shouldn't you two be in church? Yes, sir.
There you go. Now, you say that sucks, TJ, but tell me how that's fundamentally different from the life of a peasant in the Middle Ages. It's beautiful, it's pure, and it drills right to the point, TJ.
All right.
Wake up at 4 a.m., till the fields. That's life under feudalism there, TJ.
You pulled some fucking kid's shitty fucking school project video.
I just thought it was funny.
That has 25 views.
I know, dude. I found it, dude. I deep dived on this. All right. You can play that other one now.
All right, so let's play a real video.
Yeah, go ahead and play the real one.
A medieval peasant. In the Middle Ages, which cover approximately the period from the Norman invasion of Britain in 1066... to the end
See?
Of the Wars of the Roses in 1485, England moved from being an almost exclusively agricultural feudal society to a society on the threshold of creating an empire.
Society.
I don't even understand this fucking sentence.
Okay, you gotta read it right, TJ. All right, I'll do it
do
for
it
you.
For
you
me.
Ready?
Yeah.
It is no need ache for to axe, where there were many green graves, or thick of trees so full of leaves.
Wow. Okay.
That's perfect sentence,
medieval
TJ.
Medieval society was based on the few...
Whoa, people had little tiny faces and big giant heads back then, dude.
Toodly-doo, my tiny face.
Dude, people were just tiny face
Lord
back then.
Lord Tiny Face, I will ride into battle wherever ye go, sir. I pledge my sword to your tiniest of faces.
Yeah, back then, the smaller your face was, the more powerful you were.
That's right, citizen. You've chosen correctly in following Lord Tiny Face into battle.
Oh, this guy doesn't have a tiny face. This isn't accurate.
Well, obviously, they can't find people with...
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is obviously a modern guy.
Yeah,
there'd be a few left, though.
The camera wasn't invented until, like, 3 or 4 years after this.
He's said to have come of age in England under William the Conqueror. He introduced the idea that all land was the property of the crown... to dispose of as the king thought fit. Large tracts of countryside were granted to the
Gimli.
King's supporters, who, in return, were bound to pay rent and offer their services when required. This usually meant supplying a certain number of armed knights in time of war. The lords would then rent their land to tenant farmers under similar conditions. These farmers were known as serfs, or villeins, and their lives were overshadowed by extreme hardship. A serf was a...
Bunch of fucking crybabies.
TJ?
Whining about their extreme hardship,
I like how the fucking lords are showing, like, drinking some mayo, like, and we'll charge these suckers this much a month.
Yep. Dude, you know how fucking far of a drive I have to make every time I need a new pack of cigarettes? It takes, like, 25
minutes. Cut to the guy fucking patching his thatched roof.
Think about if you didn't have a car.
Yeah.
Oh. Oops.
So what? These fuckers back then.
You're
all
telling
they
me
had
you're better off hoofing it, your fat ass, down to the fucking thing to get your cigarettes?
If I was living back in these days, I'd just be growing my own tobacco and everything would be fine.
No, you wouldn't.
You wouldn't have enough to smoke because your lord would take 99% of it
oh,
for himself.
Oh, you know them peasants hid 90% of their shit and just like, sorry, lord, bad season.
You know what happened when they did that?
No,
their shit
didn't.
Got burned down.
Yeah,
and a new flock of peasants were brought in.
The stupid ones that got caught, maybe. Nah. These peasants, let me tell you something
about
these peasants.
Oh, TJ, you think
bunch of scamming, lying pieces of shit.
I'm sure they fucking scammed and lied, but you don't think the fucking lords above them knew they were going to do that shit?
The lords were unawares, man. They were just up
on
cloud nine.
No, they weren't. They're brutal.
They were up on cloud
nine. The only
way
to stay in charge of something like
that.
So
distracted by their lavish lifestyles. They don't know what's really going on.
Look, There's going to be, look, there's always going to be some leeway in every system. You can read about this shit. I mean, obviously, look, everyone's human. There's going to be leeway. They know that they can't piss off their serfs to some degree and just be totally abusive. And there's obviously community standards that were enforced.
I'm just sick and tired of hearing all this whining from the serfs.
A lot of
they're full of shit.
Dude, but statistically speaking, you would be a serf back then, TJ.
And you know what? I'd have been the best goddamn serf of all time.
A lot of these communities, TJ, were self-policing.
Tremendously good serf.
Look at what this serf is doing right now in the fucking video where you
paused
it.
That's what you'd be doing, TJ.
No, he wouldn't. You know why? Because that ladder would buckle under TJ's weight and would not hold him upside.
That's why I'd be a knight, dude.
What?
Yeah, they'd just be like, you're huge, you be a knight.
To be a knight, you had to
pay
for yourself.
They would be like, you're huge, go break that huge back in the field, and I want double from you, big boy.
They'd have made me a knight on the spot.
No, your ass would have, they would have expected two
knight
bushels
TJ.
For every one this
and
guy made.
And before long, there would have been a military coup against a feudal lord, and then I'd have been the lord. I would have brought democracy to the people.
Oh my God, whatever, TJ, your fantasy is ridiculous.
It's a fucking total fantasy.
TJ, you would have been worked like a mule your whole life.
He would you know what, Paul? Feudal TJ would have had no problem going up this ladder because he'd be way fucking thinner, dude. His fucking fat ass wouldn't be gorging himself every
chance.
No, he
wouldn't, because he'd be taking two helpings from whoever else was in that house with him, and you know he would. He would be stashing shit from the Lord. Whatever turnips were growing out there, he'd be keeping three or four in his pocket to boil up and put butter in to make a stew for himself late at night.
You know where I put him? I'd bury him under my neighbor's house, so even if they were found, they'd blame the neighbor.
How are you going to dig under your
TJ
neighbor's
house?
Up.
From the side, obviously.
When?
At night when they're asleep.
Dude.
TJ, go get a shovel right now and dig silently and come back to me.
I will.
TJ, houses back then.
You can't dig silently.
Houses back then were a lot more open, too, TJ. It wasn't like they had they were sealed off like they are now. It's
dude, they would hear
your
big ass walking up to start digging the hole.
Well, I'll do it when they're
off
working
somewhere. Let me hide some turnips here.
When they're off working somewhere, your dumb surf ass is off working somewhere, too.
Yeah, I'm going to be walking around with a shovel. I'm going to be acting like I'm on official business. Who's going to question me?
The Lord that wants your bushels for the day?
Watching over that
has
shit.
A shovel.
He's up in his castle.
Hold up.
His own
hold up.
Business.
Hold up. Let me tell you something,
yeah,
TJ.
Yeah, they're overseers, TJ.
With your background, are you telling me that the Lord wasn't watching over what the fuck was making his money? Because remember... There were no taxes and money extracted from these people.
That's
the
money
was
that's
in form of bushels of wheat, sheep's wool.
It can't be everywhere at
if
once,
if your
dude.
Ass shows up empty-handed one day, what
every
happens?
Every system has holes. There, you just got to learn the angles.
What's the... Whatever, TJ.
Dude,
you can't defend this
Paul,
shit.
TJ,
these serfs are a bunch...
TJ's ass would
have
been fucking played.
You underestimate the serf people, dude.
The serf
look
people?
Look at this fat, cream-faced loon. He has hit several bushels of grain in his house. You know, now we will make a public example of him.
We caughteth him diggeth a hole in his neighbor. This is his yard.
Paul and TJ. I want Scotty to hear this comment. Paul and TJ have men's voices. Scotty sounds like he just started going through puberty.
Oh, what you're talking about?
Hey guys, welcome to Deep Fat
Diss, Run. Scotty, you gonna take that shit? From,
fuck that guy!
Putrid Fuckwad 72.
That guy doesn't know shit!
Nick Foles, Super Bowl 52 MVP. You gonna take that shit
you
from him?
You don't know what you're talking about, Nick Foles! Fucking piece of shit! You wanna go?
Dude, let's have a boxing match between TJ and Nick Foles, Super Bowl 17, whatever his dumbass fucking name is, dude. Let's do it.
Let's go, manly voice!
All the people in the chat are just saying that I would be an awesome surf and that I would take over the Middle Ages, dude.
Dude, the people in the chat
they know
right now are Tajika fans, TJ.
No.
Tajika fans.
That's not actually what they're saying.
Because I tell you what the fucking polishers are doing. They're smoking too much to be typing bullshit about how you rule the world or whatever. Everybody with a brain in their fucking head is smoking a J right now and going, TJ's ass would be a broken fucking
Paul,
whipped puppy in this
let's
time.
Be honest, this is the only role TJ can play in a history episode. TJ, I don't think I've ever seen TJ read a history book in all of his life.
Do you think that in pursuit of your scheme to bury your bushels of wheat, let me ask a question. Yes. I want to pursue this further, TJ.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I got to do it.
All right, let's do it.
Do you think, because you got a scheme,
right,
your scheme is to bury a couple of bushels of your wheat
beneath
under
your neighbor's home.
Your neighbor's house.
Yeah.
Okay.
How big is a bushel, TJ?
Hold up. No. It's whatever. I'll just say you can fit a couple bushels in this hole you'll dig. We'll
at least
leave it
like a burlap sack.
Whatever it is.
Whatever. Okay. You can store it.
You get a couple bushels. TJ, how do you think, where did those bushels come from?
I don't know. My farm, I guess.
Yeah, your farm. TJ, do you just, when you farm, do you just find a plot of land and sit down on it and wait for enough wheat to grow to, like, lazily pick and then take it to market?
No.
No, you till the land, right?
Yeah.
And you fertilize the land correctly.
Yep.
Yep.
Right? And you plant the seeds at the correct time of year,
I assume, yeah.
Okay? Yep. And you make sure that they get enough water and sunlight and all that shit.
You do the job description of a farmer,
You chase off crows. The reason I'm doing this to you, TJ, is because I want you to justify to me how the fuck you got to the point where you have 2 bushels of wheat to hide.
I'll tell you exactly how.
Okay.
So when everyone else is trying to find a wife and they're all looking for the least hideous bitch in the Middle Ages to fuck. I'm going to go for the big, strong, ox-looking bitch so that I can sit on my ass.
How do you know that's not what was hot back then? In fact, maybe if you look at paintings and shit, bigger the better back then.
Yeah, because you know why? Because men were lazy fucks. No. And they wanted the women to do the work.
Fatness was seen as opulence.
Cool. So I find the big, strong bitch. I sit in the hut all day smoking whatever the equivalent of tobacco or weed is at the time.
Okay.
While she's out there tilling the fields, and I'm occasionally yelling something out to her, like, work faster, bitch!
Do you know that? Okay.
And we're going to have some kids, and the kids are out there working, too.
I'm glad I pulled this shit, because we're going to read. You know what, dude? I didn't pull the fucking life of a peasant woman because I didn't think it was going to come up.
You know what TJ would be?
I thought we would just fucking realize.
You thought you would just misogynistically focus on this bullshit.
We know what TJ would be. If this was actually a real thing, you'd be the fucking town drunk, TJ. You'd be the bum living in the gutter.
Who's taking care of the kids, TJ?
The kids are out there working the damn fields.
TJ, you would not be bringing home the bacon, dude.
An infant doesn't work the fields. Who's taking care of the infants, TJ?
I don't know.
Not me.
Well, if your children,
damn, one of the neighbors,
die, TJ, then you've got nobody to support you when you're an old man. So you better take care of them. Who's taking care of them when your wife is out
TJ,
like an?
I don't know if you remember, but I've already ascended to fucking feudal lord by then.
You haven't hid 2 bushels of fucking grain away. You haven't gotten there yet. There's children to be taken care of while your wife tills the field.
TJ, if you were smart, that's what you would have said.
What?
You'd have been popping out kids like crazy.
Yeah,
you'd make sure that they were.
Well, you had to do that anyway because it was like a low success rate.
But you'd be fucking. But you'd make sure they're as strong as possible.
Yeah.
So eventually, then your fat ass would be sitting back. So you have 15 kids working the fucking field.
Right.
That should have been your plan.
Well, yeah, that was the plan.
But you weren't going to take care of them as infants, so they all would have died.
Well, I mean, obviously, I'd scam some kind of neighbor or something to take care of them in infancy.
Well, how are you going to scam the neighbor? There's no money to give them. How are you going to scam them?
Oh, I don't know. It's easy. You got to say Jesus came to you in a vision or some stupid shit. Trick him that way.
So you'd have been like a hux. Well, then why don't you just join the clergy, TJ?
Well, you can't just. I mean, it wasn't as easy back then. You had to be more clever about your social mobility because you were kind of stuck in whatever class you were in.
Okay.
So you had to fucking cheat
TJ,
a lot more to get.
So your
you
plan
to
get the bushel of corn,
yeah,
is to be not the peasant farmer, but the peasant woman. So let me read to you.
Well, I didn't say I would be the peasant woman.
Well, that's what you said. You're staying at home. If you're smoking a pipe, you're not attending to the things at home, so you need a third set of hands, TJ.
Oh, okay. You're going to tell us about the life of a peasant woman. Okay.
So here's what your duties.
Let me pull up a peasant woman.
And already number one on this list, you're fucked.
Hold up.
All right. Go ahead, TJ. You go ahead and take your time, TJ. Pull up a peasant woman.
Dude, I think TJ's shaking. He's scared right now, TJ. You're scared, TJ. You're scared
of
the truth.
Bullshit. He knows he could never get to the point where he had 2 fucking bushels of
wheat. TJ would have no fucking bushels, dude. Are you kidding?
There's no way. TJ could never be
the only role TJ can play is town drunk. That's all I can reliably believe TJ could do.
And if you want to prove me wrong, TJ, we can come up with a challenge.
Well, let's hear your bullshit first.
All right.
Tell us about the life of a peasant woman, Paul.
Daily life of
fucking job.
Daily life of a peasant woman started in the summer as early as 3 a.m.
I'm already up then.
So
anyway.
First you got to prepare a breakfast, okay? Because you got to send your big, strong ox of a wife off with a full belly, and she's got to be able to sleep a little longer than you because her hands are fucking blistered from working the day before, so... You got to get up extra early and make sure that when she gets up before she goes into the field again, she's
got a nice breakfast.
Nice breakfast.
Some gruel, probably.
Right? So by 4 or 5 a.m., you've already gotten up and made a nice, hearty, hot breakfast for your woman. Okay? Work in the fields or on the land started by dawn in the daily life of a peasant woman during the Middle Ages would include this type of hard work. So guess what, TJ?
You're still in the field, bitch.
You go a little later than your husband, or sorry, your wife does. But as soon as you have attended to the dishes and the things around the house, your ass goes to the field too. There is no sitting at home smoking your pipe, TJ.
Yeah, there is.
No, there isn't.
You just don't do it.
Then the Lord comes and cuts your head off.
No.
Because it's expected that there's two people. There's two adults living in this
house.
Have
you no guile, sir?
No guile?
Yeah, you got to fucking play the system a little bit.
All right, show me how you're going to guile your way.
I mean, I don't know enough about the angles of the Middle Ages to know how I'd be playing the system, but I know I'd be playing the fucking system.
You'd also be taking care of the small animals that you keep for food. Geese, chickens, that type of shit.
See, all of this shit would be subcontracted.
You would also be mending.
Subcontracted, yeah. TJ?
With what money?
I don't know.
With what wheat? You got to give all your wheat to the Lord. How are you going
to
trade your wheat, which is already hampered by the fact that only one person is doing it?
You don't know the yield.
And a woman.
He don't know the fucking yield, dude.
It just goes on and on, TJ.
TJ acts like you'd have no supervision.
I mean, you guys act like this is going to be some, like, distant fucking future dystopia where there's cameras everywhere watching everything. You could get away with a lot more shit.
I just want to see you turn a crop, TJ. You've got a nice
you're not going to be able to get away with more shit.
You got a backyard there with some nice soil.
Because you want to know why? Here's the problem with everything you're saying, TJ. Because you act like they give a shit. You think when the Lord comes in, or whoever fucking represents the Lord, and says, "Where's your 10 bushels of grain?" And you go, I don't really know. I only
Here
got
are
eight.
Five, my good Lord. Yeah. And he's like, "Why didn't you work?" And you're like, "I did. I smoked with my pipe." He's going to lop your fucking head off, and you're never going to stash any wheat.
Oh, my God. Whatever.
Oh, my God.
TJ, you know what?
Oh, my God.
And even the best of circumstances, they're going to know some of your lions. They might round you up just on that basis. Like, this peasant, his face look of like that of a liar.
I'm going to have
take him to the stocks.
I'll have a fucking fall guy for all that shit. I'm already working on the neighbor frame up. I can fucking be like,
by the way, TJ,
he's hiding food under his house. I seen him.
Outside work finished at dusk. So you're working from before sun up to dusk. And then this is the one that kills it for you. Women, which is you in this situation, generally ate when her husband, which is your wife in this situation, and children had finished and had very little leisure time, period.
Yeah.
Well, that's
because they're playing by the rules.
So here's the challenge, TJ.
You ain't got to play by the rules.
Here's the challenge.
Yeah.
I want you.
Okay.
I'm going to be, Scotty and I are going to be your Lord attendants, and you're going to be the peasant.
Okay.
You got a nice backyard back there this summer. Yep. I want you to, you don't have to do a whole yard full, plant a row of some kind of crop, and then when harvest time comes, I'm going to come and collect my due.
Right.
And yeah. I'm going to check in on you as you do it to make sure that my money is okay, my crop is okay.
Okay.
I'm not just going to let you tend to these plants and then let you buy some from the store with the sticker still on it and go, here's my tomatoes. No. I'm going to check up on you, TJ. I want to see these ripe, juicy, plump fruits before they're presented.
Uh-huh.
And I want to know that your labor went into it. So I'm going to visually come and watch that labor sometimes.
Okay.
To make sure that my plants
at random
are being attended to, yes, properly.
Okay.
If you can do that, TJ, and somehow by guile figure out a way to not do any work and present me with a shitty-ass handful of tomatoes you got from somewhere else or half of what I expect from two plants, you're fucked.
Dude, I've seen how many fucking tomatoes a fucking plant can produce, dude. It's a lot. He should fucking hand you a basket filled to the fucking brim.
No problem.
Yep.
No fucking
ripe
problem.
Tomatoes fresh from the vine, TJ.
Yep. As he goes to a store and buys a bunch of tomatoes.
All of that in mind. I want to see the plant.
But you know how we'll know, TJ? How fresh it is.
Those precious seeds, TJ.
Yeah.
So much of my ripe basket of tomatoes is wrapped up in that. I want to see the planting. In fact, I want to make sure that the stupid peasant breaking his back for me knows how to dig a furrow, so I want to see the digging as well.
Yeah, all right.
You know what we should do, Paul?
I should be in attendance of this.
We should select a kind of tomato that's like not very commonly sold at stores.
Well, we'll have to find out what can grow around here.
No,
you
within reason, of course.
Whatever system you got in place, I will skirt
around
it. It's
going to be feudalism.
It. Yeah.
Feudalism.
Go ahead.
I am your lord,
uh-huh.
Which means that I can attend you as you work on that thing. So you're gonna, there are going to be times where I'm going to come and watch you attend to the field.
Right. You go ahead.
And then I'm going to watch those plump tomatoes grow ripe. Because, TJ, you must attend to them properly. And I will not lift a finger. And I will take 80% of your tomatoes.
Yep.
And Scotty and I will divide them equally amongst our families.
All right.
And you
will
get the remaining crop, if any. If you could produce naught but a withered plant, I would be shocked.
Whatever, dude. This is money in the bag.
How much TJ, do I get? I find out that
how
you're
much
cheating,
do I get when I win?
If you win,
yeah,
I will hand those ripe tomatoes right back to you, my friend.
I don't want the fucking tomatoes.
Dude, Paul, who's never going to grow no fucking tomatoes?
I know.
There's no fucking
way. I want to do it just for the show, TJ.
There's no
fucking
way.
I want to, at the end of the summer, when those tomatoes are coming nice and ripe, I want to do a DFF on the medieval times feudalism,
well, let's
too.
Let's see if you actually remember this when it becomes planting season.
Oh, the people will remember, TJ.
Well, we'll see.
The people will remind
We shall
me.
See, Paul. We shall see. What's next, Paul?
What's next?
Yeah.
How dare you, TJ?
What's next, Paul?
How dare
this
you,
this weird-looking fuck? What about him? Tell us about this weirdo here.
Well, this is a lord, TJ, and this is what you aspire to be by hiding your bushels of wheat.
TJ is going to grow Senor Tamat.
He's got some fucking bling on. Dude, that dude's better dressed than you, TJ. He lived fucking over 1,000 years ago.
Dude, he is iced the fuck out.
I mean, yeah, he does look pretty fucking...
If you saw the grill he has in his mouth...
What's the latest fucking term for when someone has a lot of fucking...
Iced.
Iced, okay.
Iced out.
He's iced out, dog. Yeah. There you go.
His wrist is so cold. His panky is so stanky. You know? That's what a lord, you know, that's an approximation
someone
of
said,
a lord.
Someone's like, planting season, lol. What? Is that not what it's called? Is there not a season where you plant them? Fuck you.
I do like that TJ assumes when planting season starts. Like,
I don't know
like,
when it starts, but I'm saying I know it's not now in the heart of winter.
I mean, maybe it starts right like next month.
We're not in the heart of winter yet,
TJ.
Well, we're in winter.
Maybe,
whatever.
No,
we're
not. Maybe there's some preparation of the ground that you need to be doing
whatever.
In winter.
It's the time when it's fucking cold.
I don't know, TJ. Maybe there's some shit you need to get done before the fucking
seasons,
summer comes.
TJ, learn your fucking seasons.
All right, so here's, I'm looking it up, planting season.
Planting season.
It's different for different shit. Planting
season.
Depends
on what you're growing.
Tomatoes.
Tomatoes.
Start tomatoes indoors in seed starting trays or recyclable pots. 6 to 8 weeks, blah, blah, blah. When? Start seeds as early as mid-January. Okay.
Damn, dude. No problem.
So that's not even that far. I'll start them in mid-January.
Okay, all right. TJ.
All right, so you're taking
no
this
fucking
challenge.
Problem.
You're taking this challenge.
I'll take your fucking challenge.
These plants are
going
to die.
I'll take your bet, and you're going to regret because I'm the best that's ever been.
You know what, TJ? And I demand that you fucking bury 2 bushels under the Mayor Paul's house.
All right. Well, I can't do it to yours. You don't even have a yard, really.
Well, the
idea is Paul.
He's somehow got to trick me into thinking that he did the work that he didn't do.
Yeah.
Because really, what he said he was going to do as a peasant was sit around and smoke. So when it comes to this, that's what you need
to
do.
You know is what I will do in my real life.
And when
life.
You pick whatever tomato species you're going
to
do.
TJ, the first time I come and you're supposed to work on this, you're going to quit
before
anything
gets
done.
With modern science, we'll know about the average yield of these plants, especially if we know what species and everything.
Oh, yeah. Dude, my mom grew tomato plants my whole life.
And you can do a random inspection anytime
I know
you
exactly
want,
what a tomato plant should throw off
and we'll
in
know
the
what
summer.
And TJ, we'll tell by taste, too.
If they taste like ass, or if they're eaten up by bugs, that's not.
Dude,
I can't sell that at the fucking market.
Oh, dude, if we fucking bite into TJ, there's no crispness, there's no juiciness, TJ, there's no freshness.
That better be fresh,
it's not
ripe,
sweet,
tasty.
It better be
juicy,
sweet, TJ.
Well tended tomatoes, or we're fucked, TJ. My mom used to spend 2 hours every other day tending her garden of tomatoes.
Don't you worry, bitch.
All right, TJ.
Not only am I going to have a huge yield of fucking tomatoes.
Uh huh.
Not only will they be the freshest, ripest, juiciest fucking tomatoes you've ever seen, but I will have done absolutely nothing
to
make it happen.
So you're going
to... Other than just employ guile to trick you. The only time I will work is when you're here observing me, and the second you leave,
how,
I will stop.
How is that even going to be possible, TJ? How?
I won't do one goddamn
thing.
He's gonna pay
Stevie to do it, and here's the problem with that. Stevie... Like, number one, that's going to be a drain on your resources.
I'm not going to pay no one to do it.
If I find out...
here's another rule. I won't spend a dime.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, see, that's an honor system rule, though.
I won't spend a fucking dime. Uh-huh. Won't spend a goddamn dime.
Aside from getting the seeds and stuff you need.
Who's going to do this work for you, TJ?
What work?
All right.
You don't need to know how I'm doing it.
Never mind.
Yeah,
you're the feudal lord. My job is to deceive you. I can't tell you my whole fucking plan.
There's no fucking way, TJ. Put your money where your mouth is then, dude.
He's saying he's going to do it.
I am going to put my money where my mouth is.
All right. Well,
the fact that I'm doing it is fucking me putting my money where my mouth is.
So he is going to grow a couple of tomato plants to throw off a lot of tomatoes for me and you, Scotty.
That's right.
And if he does that, he gets bragging rights forever.
The tomato harvest.
Because then he's going to reveal how he deceived us into growing two beautiful, healthy summer tomato plants.
Paul, I'm going to tell you one thing. There's no way he's growing shit.
I know
I don't believe it.
I know that. And not only that, but we have the open-ended ability to check in on him and watch him tend these things and watch the growth of these plants from little seedlings that he gets all the way to big, beautiful, full, ripe tomatoes. There's no way it's happening, dude.
Why am I out of focus? This fucking camera sucks dick.
I don't know, TJ. Don't.
Boo. Boo, camera. You're shit.
Boo, camera. Stop it. All right. It's a pretty big digression, though, TJ.
It's not my fault. I wanted to talk about this guy.
I mean, it was a digression that needed to happen.
Look at him. Isn't he beautiful?
So the daily life of even a noble starts at dawn.
Gay.
That sucks. Fuck.
Yep. Mass would be heard and prayers would be made. So the first thing they do, they wake up, they go to mass.
Oh, it's even worse, dude.
First meal of the day is breakfast. Lords and nobles would attend to business matters in relation to the land. So all that shit that you assume that they're not doing... that's what they're doing. Reports would be heard regarding estate crops, harvests, and supplies.
Oh, was that, Paul? Reports would be heard?
Yeah, reports would be heard, yep.
Huh, TJ.
Finances, rents, taxes, customs, and dues. The Lord would also be expected to exercise his judicial powers over his vassals and peasants.
Cool.
Complaints and disputes regarding tenants would be settled, permission to marry, etc. So if you want to do anything...
He's going to hide the tomatoes in his ass. I love it.
How are you going to do this, TJ? There's no way. This is absurd,
it's
TJ.
It's not going to be hard.
You're going to have to actually work if you want to
grow
tomatoes.
It is lords and just sit on their asses,
the
TJ.
The whole point is I'm not going to work.
TJ, even if you were a lord, you would have to work. That was the point. You'd have to work regardless.
I don't buy it. This is some fucking retard historian's
what are you
view
talking about,
how this
TJ?
Guy lived.
That's how this guy maintained
no,
power was when people had a dispute.
No, it wasn't. No.
Of course
that's
the
not
Lord
how
would
he
decide.
Lived at all. They don't know
that was
how
the whole point of the
they
system,
don't know how this
TJ.
Motherfucker rolled.
What do you mean you don't know how they rolled? They just explained
they don't know.
To you how it worked.
Why? They. Oh, so you just believe some random historian's like, I figured out how people did stuff. He don't know shit.
What do you think they just made it up, TJ?
Yeah,
that's
pretty
how-
much.
They just made it up whole cloth.
Yeah.
It was all bullshit. They're like,
yeah.
We don't really know how people live then. Let's make up feudalism.
Yeah, they just cooked up some bullshit. I'm not saying feudalism was bullshit. What I'm saying is this motherfucker didn't really do all that. Just like people today, he was like, fuck that shit. I'll do it tomorrow. I don't need a report every day.
Yeah, maybe he blew it off some days. Maybe he did shitty lights, but he's fucking still overall probably
I'd rather
job.
Go hunt pheasants in the woods.
Yeah, I'm sure the lords had way more leisure time. I don't think there's denying that. That was one of the privileges of being a lord, but they still had duties to attend to.
I'm saying they cut corners, Scotty. Just like we do today, just like humankind has always done.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they just shirked all the responsibilities and didn't work at all. Like, dude. You're imagining the Lord just someone who just lounges around and has no responsibilities. Even the king had responsibilities they had to do. They had matters of state.
TJ's fucking boned, dude. Scotty, there is no way that this goes down. I don't even think these plants will survive the January in his house properly.
I don't think he
has any idea what goes into taking care of a plant and having it throw off good fruit.
One, he doesn't. And two, he doesn't. Like, he's like, well, why be a Lord? It's like, well, TJ, if you were a Lord, you'd have to mete out justice. You'd have to, you know... make plans for the crops. You have to say, we need to grow more of this. I mean, obviously, ultimately, you're kicking that up or, you know, you're doing something with that crop. That crop is valuable. It's not
right.
Like it's not like the crop is just to eat. I mean, part of that is, you know, let's say, you know, there's a lord above you, like you said, or there's a king or whatever. That motherfucker's going to be taxing you as well. So you're going to be paying him and you guys report to him. And you have the chance of losing your lordship or being beheaded if you're not fucking delivering. So you're going to make sure those crops are growing. So CJ's plan of, like, he's going to stash this shit off. You know, I'm sure peasants try to do that. I'm sure they also left their fucking heads chopped off, too, when they were caught fucking lying.
Well,
now, I'm not saying they never got away with it. Of course they lied to the lords. Of course they got away with some shit.
We're giving TJ a very, very fucking light version of feudalism in this fucking agreement that we've come to. He is expected to produce a bumper crop of tomatoes from a couple of plants.
I had one simple request, dude. And that was for every variety of Hostess snack cake to be brought here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And apparently, the fucking store nearest me does not even fucking carry Hostess fucking snacks.
So
dude.
You got nothing, dude.
Wow.
Damn. Didn't what even have Little Debbie or none of the competitors either. This is bullshit.
Wow.
Fuck this shit, man.
We'll just order them online.
This is the dark
just
ages.
Just go to Walmart or Target or something.
These
dude.
Are the true dark ages when a man can't even get some ho-hos and ding-dongs and none of that shit.
Yeah, oh, dude. Under the auspices
zingers.
Of
zingers
reviewing them.
And Twitter, Twinkies.
Twinkies, yeah.
Twitters are now a little Hostess
snack. My fucking local gas station has got all this shit. Fucking bullshit,
what about
man.
Those Hostess cupcakes?
Yeah.
Dude, those are
those
my favorite.
Suck, dude.
The orange Hostess
really
cupcakes,
good,
dude.
Though.
Oh, you are a fucking
no,
moron, dude.
Twinkies are good. Though. Like
the
Twinkies.
Orange Hostess cupcake
oh, God,
is like
Paul.
God's gift to man.
You're so wrong about
it
that.
It tastes like a heaven orgasm in your mouth.
What
Scotty.
Is this now? This the orange cupcakes?
Yeah, the orange Hostess cupcake. Paul, they come in a two-pack.
I didn't even know that existed. You just told me about
there's
it.
There's chocolate ones,
oh,
and then there's
God,
like vanilla-looking
Paul.
Ones like that, but they're like with an orange frosting.
This
yeah,
is the orange one, dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It says right there,
this
orange.
Shit right here, Scotty. This shit right here, Scotty. This shit right here, Scotty.
This shit right here, Scotty.
This reveals so much. Like
this motherfucking shit
Paul
right
going,
here.
Well, I imagine like when I'm hungry, I imagine like what I would like to eat. Now I know when Paul is hungry. Like Paul probably is in his life, probably literally driven to a store or a gas station is like, this is a meal.
This is you know no because you know what, dude.
Is this a meal to you, Paul?
Scotty, let me ask.
Only
you
under one auspice. I eat these when I'm on road trips. When I go on a road trip and I stop at a gas station to fill up, there's always a little mini mart. I go in, I get myself a fucking Red Bull or something, and a pack of these two little orange cupcakes. And I'm telling you, that shit gets me through the drive. I eat one right away, and then I save the one for later. And I actually forget while I'm driving on a long enough drive that I have a cupcake.
So you have a nice little surprise.
And then when I go to stop, I look over and get my shit, and I see the cupcake, and I'm like, holy fuck, I got a cupcake, and I eat it, and I buy two more when I fill up the gas.
It's a cycle, dude.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, whatever, like, that's not decadent.
But, Scotty, listen, you might think that this is some
what's,
gross.
What's the nutritional stuff on this t-shirt?
Hold on, you might think this is some gross shit,
stocked
but
with
look,
vitamins and minerals.
Natural, Scotty. Completely. Scotty, natural flavor.
See?
None of that bullshit artificial
some,
flavoring,
some
dude.
Chick grates an orange over each one of these as yep. it passes by.
Yeah,
that's
I'm
right.
Sure.
As the
that's
baker
right.
pulls his hand-baked
I'm
creation
sure
the from the oven.
I'm sure in the where these are mass manufactured, there's someone with some orange zest on each one. Yeah, Paul, I'm sure it's happening.
An orange zest.
Let me just sprinkle a little orange zest on that. Maybe a little lemon zest will ratatouille.
Scotty,
two.
You said ooh. You wanted the nutritional information on this?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
So Paul's in about, let's say Paul's on a long road trip, maybe four, right? Maybe
let's see, so
I don't know. It depends on the road trip. I probably get at least one.
Shit. All right, so serving size is one cake.
Yeah.
One cake.
Okay.
So guess the calories, Scotty.
200.
I'd say it's higher than that. I'd say it's more like 400 or 500.
Oh, you guys, you're way off, Paul. It's only 170.
Oh, really?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Got that one.
Total fat.
Oh, that's per cake?
Yeah, per cake.
Per cake.
Oh, okay.
That's one serving size is one cake, as I said at
okay.
the beginning of this.
Okay, got it. Sorry.
Sorry.
I'm stoned, TJ. What no, do you want? Not. And I'm looking at these, and I'm getting real fucking hungry.
I'm being snarky, Paul. I'm just being snarky.
Snarky parky.
Total fat, guess.
Ooh, how many grams?
Yeah, how many grams of fat you think?
8 grams. Oh, no, probably more. 12 grams of fat?
12 grams, says Scotty.
10 grams of fat?
6 grams.
Ooh.
Okay.
Cholesterol, milligrams, how many?
15 milligrams.
20.
10.
Okay.
Sodium, milligrams.
Probably not very much. Maybe 50 milligrams?
I'd say less than that. I'd say 1 or 2.
140.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Damn, Paul.
Salty. Total that's why I like them.
Yeah,
they're
there
salty.
You go, dude.
Total carbohydrates.
Oh, that's going to be a ton.
Grams.
50?
I'd say 75.
29.
Ooh. Oh, all
right. 20, not bad. 22 grams of just
see,
sugar.
See, I just assume this is awful, but it's
grams
actually a balanced
sugar.
Diet.
So, yeah, 22 grams of sugar in each one.
Yeah.
Protein, 1 gram. So, no vitamin A, no vitamin C, a little bit of calcium, a little bit of iron. That's pretty much the makeup of
so
this
So, for your
thing.
Daily value of fat, how much is one of those?
percent. Daily value of fat, 15%.
So eating two is 30%.
30%.
Yeah.
Wow.
So if it's all I eat over an eight-hour trip and I have four of these, I'm fine.
Paul, yeah. I call bullshit. This is all you eat in eight hours.
Okay, you know what else I eat, though? And I'm legit. I'll tell you what else I'll get at the gas station and shit. Because I don't like stopping to eat a meal when I'm on a long road trip by myself. I just want to get there. So I'll stop at the gas station and I'll grab beef jerky.
That's really not too bad.
That's really what I like having to snack on as I drive. And if I eat that the whole time I'm driving, I feel like it's enough like protein and shit to keep me. And these, you know, are my little decadent treats.
So Paul, then
my little floofy loofy.
Paul, how are you fat?
I don't get fat on road trips. Is what I'm saying. I'm fat because when I get where I'm going, I get a giant fucking pizza to reward myself.
Okay, there we go. There we go.
Yeah, no. Don't get me wrong. This is not how I eat all the time. On road trips, I'm very efficient. And I'll just eat a couple cupcakes and some fucking jerky.
Paul, it sounds like if you ate the way you're on a road trip in your normal life, you'd be skinny, dude.
Yeah, dude.
You just got to stay on the road,
Paul. It's expensive, though, to buy these fucking Hostess cupcakes and even more expensive to buy jerky. I'd have to fucking get a jerky maker.
Jerky maker.
The digression show.
All right. How did that happen?
I don't know. Never mind.
Who cares?
Never mind. A far better album than Siamese Dream.
Oh, shit. Are we going to do that, too?
No, we're not doing that one.
All right.
We're not doing that one.
So this is TJ's life, basically, right here. This is the life that TJ's
going to
somehow
avoid.
This is my life.
He's going to have ample time. See everyone here working in the field, TJ? You're going to have ample time to steal those bushels away.
Yeah, you see that guy there?
Oh, there's TJ in the middle.
There's me showing up just in time to eat.
No, that's you in the middle napping in the middle.
I'm actually back here in this house.
No, that's me.
Watching.
I'm back there in that house. You live in a hovel, TJ, on the border of my land.
I'm pretty sure that this is supposed to be one of the
you
hovels.
You walk 3.5 miles to work every fucking day, TJ.
Bullshit.
So you got to get on a treadmill or something and walk 3 miles when I come over here, TJ, because I want you to come to my court.
I've been working on the wheat field all the livelong day.
All right. So we talked a little bit about the life of a peasant, TJ, but I've got some more specific stuff.
Cool.
Oh, shit. Now I just closed my little document.
You stupid son of a bitch.
I know. What do you want me to do?
Life of a peasant.
Paul's just thinking about those orange cupcakes, dude.
Those orange cupcakes threw me the fuck off.
Like, Paul's like, damn.
I am salivating for one right now.
Here you go.
The creamy center.
I actually think, did we ever do the life of a lady?
No, because it doesn't differ a whole lot from that of a lord upon looking back at my research.
Roger that.
And we kind of talked about the life of a peasant lady, which I think is way more interesting.
Deep Fat Fright is brought to you by Hostess.
Buy these cupcakes for me and send them to me, please.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
By the way,
always a good time.
Not another
always
digression,
Hostess.
But here's another one for you, TJ. When are we going to get that fucking P.O. box opened up? We got to get it.
Give me the
send me fucking cupcakes.
We got to get the P.O. box out to these fuckers so they'll send us these cupcakes, guys.
Let's just figure it out. We'll figure it out.
Harass us in the comments so we remember.
Like, bother
us about
that fucking
shit. Dude, I don't know if we even
want
a P.O. box because I'll be the only one that'll fucking check it.
No, I'll go.
10 million things.
I'll do it, dude. I swear to God, I'll take care of the P.O. box.
That's fine.
Ugh. I'll do it.
Scotty will handle it.
You know? You won't have to do much
at all. She's like, Scotty will handle it. Scotty.
Scotty can do it. He's a man's man.
He's a man's man.
Yeah.
The most manly of men.
The manly of men.
Takes a true man to check the P.O. box.
So we talked about this, but here's some of the things that a peasant would be doing, TJ. So reaping, sowing, obviously. Plowing. You're
going
to have to plow a furrow back there. I'm going to have to watch that furrow be plowed, TJ. You're gonna have to do some plowing.
Plow it, TJ.
You're going to have to do some plowing, TJ. Binding and thatching. Yeah. I want my tomatoes presented properly and ready to go to the market, TJ, which means you're going to have to clean them before you present them to me. You have to trim the stems properly for marketability. I'm not doing any of that fucking work. You think you're just pulling these things right off the vine and throwing them in a basket and giving them to me?
Fuck no, dude.
I want them washed. And I want to watch them picked, too, so I get to watch you do that.
They'll be picked when they're picked, bitch.
They'll be picked when I say they're ready to be picked.
Nope.
It picked off the shelf of a fucking supermarket, dude.
Wrong.
So what TJ's planning on doing is this. I already know TJ's fucking dumb.
You don't know my plan.
He's planning on, number one, going back on the I won't spend any money and buying a bunch of nice ripe tomatoes.
No. Nope. Yep.
And then he's planning on hiding the withered ones underneath the house or some shit as a token of his fucking original intent and then giving us a bunch of tomatoes he bought at the fucking market down the road.
Nope.
I'm not a retard, TJ.
You're stupid. That's not even
this lord is on to you.
Nope.
Yeah. That's what people are going to think when they get a picture of these tomatoes. Trust me. Because if anything is thrown off of these plants, it'll be a fucking Christmas miracle, TJ.
Wrong.
Right there in the middle of fucking summer.
If this plant even grows,
it'll be a Christmas fucking miracle, TJ.
If TJ follows up with this in any way, it'll be a Christmas
miracle.
Yeah,
if you actually ever buy these plants, honestly, it'll be a late Christmas
miracle.
Yeah,
let's be honest. This shit ain't ever happening. There's no fucking way this is going to happen. I have no faith in that.
Assuming that you do, if they ever produce any fucking edible tomatoes.
Wrong.
You're fools.
All right, so let's get to the crux of this. Were the Dark Ages really dark, guys? What do you think?
I mean, what the fuck is this?
What is this, dude?
Oh, that's pottage.
Pottage?
That's what you would eat for breakfast every morning.
That doesn't look too bad.
It's little chunks of animal parts that are like usually awful. Cool. You know what I mean? Like,
but
tripe,
it's in a soup.
Oh shit!
And
tripe.
Yeah, it's like tripe and kidney and liver and heart and lung. And then it's thrown into a stew with like whatever rotten vegetables you could get off of the plants that aren't marketable.
They hadn't invented the hot dog yet to fucking put all this meat in.
And potatoes were usually pretty plentiful and provided as a staple of their diet, or people would grow potatoes just for them to eat. So you can see some potatoes and some onions bobbing
really
in there.
Nasty
these little
soup.
Onions don't seem too bad.
Yeah, I mean, some of that might taste all right. In fact, the whole thing might taste all right.
Yeah, maybe.
I did, when I looked into this, I thought it would be interesting to see kind of what they ate. And this is the closest one to a traditional one that I could find. It's made by I can't remember the name of it. There's a YouTube channel that does these kind of old recipes and cooks them as they were cooked back in the day. So this one was, you know, like I said, little bits of organ.
It would be interesting to eat like how they ate. I mean, stew is an obvious choice.
But I bet it's tasty on a level.
It's going to go a lot further with people anyways. You know, I mean, like if you have a stew, feed a lot more people.
Yeah. So
actually, what a lot of medieval people ate too was Hostess cupcakes.
TJ,
what about
stop.
Did people eat like gruel and shit? Is that true? Like the porridge shit? Did you ever find anything about that?
These are actually stuffed with a form of gruel.
Breakfast porridge and stuff was pretty common because it was really easy to make and it was really easy to keep dry goods and turn it into porridge. So canning and jarring and that type of preservation was also used back then to kind of keep some of the harvest so that you could use it later. You know, a lot of botulism happened back then because people would do it.
I thought canning wasn't invented until like the 18th century, though.
Not like canning, but like jarring or whatever the fuck.
Oh, putting shit in jar. Well, yeah, I guess there was like primitive methods of trying to.
So like covering the top with, I think they covered it with wax or whatever. And they would seal the jar with a piece of cloth and wax.
Oh, God, dude. That rife with disease then.
Oh, yeah. So a lot of botulism happened
back then. So five ridiculous myths you probably believe about the Dark Ages.
Yeah, so I pulled these because a lot of these, you know, a lot of places that I went to were covering one aspect of these, and this list kind of had a succinct look at all of them.
What you got to say, Cracked? So myth number one, society was cruel and the standard of living sucked. But actually, it was awesome.
It was great. Look at these people, fucking guys.
Look at all the fun they're fucking having.
He's playing
having,
a flute.
There's a naked bitch.
Whoa, dude.
Actually, the standard of living was pretty decent, even if you were poor as hell. In fact, he managed to hit new highs in charity, healthcare, and innovative philanthropy almost on a daily basis.
Now, that particular angle is kind of derided by some people as like Catholic apologetics.
I believe it because it bolsters my case.
Well, there you go.
There were people being charitable, therefore you could always sucker those motherfuckers, man.
You need to have some loot.
Sucker them dumb sons of bitches into doing your work for you. Communism in the Dark Ages, bitch. Slavery went out of style in the Dark Ages, apparently. That's good. No slaves. Everyone just is a slave for the fucking feudal lord. That's fine.
So, misconception number four, TJ. Entertainment in the Dark Ages consisted of jousting and sword fights.
What the fuck else were they doing? They didn't have anything else going on. They didn't know what the fuck they were talking about.
You've been to a medieval times restaurant. You know the deal.
Yeah, dude, I've been there.
Yeah,
me too. We've all seen it.
Green Knight.
They cheer
green
for your
knight.
Knight
was badass.
They fucking serve you shit. You know, you eat with your hands. I mean, we know what the deal is. You like ye old
dude,
Pepsi.
Do you think they put us in the green section because they looked at us and they were like, this is a bunch of stoners.
Dude, I don't know, maybe.
Dude, we're in the fucking green section, man.
We all did that, too. Because we all were fucking stoned.
Oh, man, check it out.
Do you remember how we almost missed that fucking shit? Because we all just, like, all our stoner asses got there at, like, the last second.
Whoa, dude. We were all like, well, all right, man, medieval times, okay?
barely got there in time for the show to start.
So jousting, everyone's go-to image of historical blood sport, wasn't really even possible during this period. Proper jousting, I can't really think of this blues, stirrups had not been adopted in most of Europe, so the lack of footholds would have made the combatants flying across, flying like sacks of potatoes. I'm sorry, and
at the tiniest impact.
In fact, jousting was a strictly a military drill until the late 11th century.
So yeah, you wouldn't be watching jousting.
No shit, Sherlock.
Even the darkest
centuries. That's why we have jousting at
ages.
Renaissance festivals, dude, Dark Age festivals.
That's exactly, dude. The Ren Faire might be closer to reality than you think, because apparently the Dark Ages were all about harmless family fun.
Cool.
Compared to the eras before and since, sport and games during the Dark Ages were decidedly less combative. A lot of the stuff people of the Dark Ages did for fun is very similar to what we still do today when we're not wasting the day away on the internet. In fact, archery competitions, boxing, and rugby were all either invented or
boxing
refined.
Seems kind of fucking combative. I don't know.
There's a sportsmanship to boxing that's not like, I guess they're combative, but... get this. Norse sagas from the 9th century describe fearsome Vikings merrily frolicking on ice skating rinks and skiing competitions. So even the Vikings chilled out.
Yeah, dude. They'd pass up such as bowling. Oh, you passed it up. Did you go back?
Sorry.
Bowling, dancing, tag, horseshoe throwing. Dude, people, I mean, they had some shit going on back then.
Dude, they were playing horseshoe. Dude, that's the most benign. I don't know. Have you ever played horseshoes, TJ?
Yep.
Have you ever pitched shoes?
Yep.
Dude, that's the most benign thing ever. And that's what they were doing.
Some wholesome fucking fun, dude.
Pitching the horseshoes.
Wholesome
TJ.
Fun. This is a good time period, TJ. You would have enjoyed it.
When was croquet invented?
Number three, that it was constant, brutal warfare. The myth. The reason the Dark Ages got their name was because they were supposedly the sad, shitty years after the fall of the glorious Roman Empire. Blah, 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 blah. Let's see what the reality is. Sure, there was fighting. That much is true. What people tend to forget is the scale of the fighting. Comparing the Dark Age battles was... Oh, shit. God damn it. Stupid ad popped up.
Let's say Roman warfare.
Roman warfare is like comparing a slap fight, ooh, between two toddlers with a rumble in the jungle. They both technically qualify as fights, but one of them is a lot less likely to get millions of people excited.
Which is kind of funny because Rome was about... I mean, Rome had a constant policy of warfare and expansion, so it's like...
Aww.
They act like... I mean, yeah, there was one empire, but warfare was constant during that time period as well, so it wasn't like... I mean, it's doubtful the Middle Ages would have matched the amount of warfare the Romans were going through.
Yeah.
And, I mean, because, I mean, every... I mean, that's how the Roman Empire expanded, was through warfare primarily.
Nuh-uh. You wrong, Skittle.
What's the next myth?
The Dark Ages were an intellectual abyss.
Yes.
Burn that bitch. The reality, the problem with writing off centuries of human history as a giant brain fart... is that it overlooks literally everything that happened during said period. The image of the Dark Ages and intellectual twilight zone is no different. Sure, the general public was largely unable to read or write, but that has been the case with every single era until recent history. Scholars, on the other hand, were actually having a ball during the Dark Ages. Carolingian minuscule, the standard handwriting script introduced by Emperor Charlemagne in the 8th century, revolutionized the whole concept of reading and writing.
Charlemagne, dude.
Charlemagne, bitch.
Charlemagne, TJ, not Charlemagne.
Charlemagne.
I don't think I said Charlemagne.
You said Charlemagne.
All right, whatever.
You definitely 100% roll back the tape. You said it.
It's right, Charlemagne.
My name is Charlemagne.
Charlemagne.
Whatever. Prior to, this is the word I'm probably really fucking up. Carolingian. Minuscule handwriting was a wild, lawless, anything goes field. Uppercase, lowercase, and random spacing ran rampant. And individual scholars treated the rules of spelling and alphabet mostly as polite suggestions. That doesn't sound that great. They haven't even standardized fucking handwriting.
No. They were talking about before the Dark Ages. The Dark Ages were when that happened. A standard for like print and handwriting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Read the next sentence, TJ.
I'm sorry. I was just reacting to what I'd read so far. The standardized, fast, effective Carolingian minuscule introduced revolutionary concepts such as cases, punctuation,
there
spaces
go,
between
TJ.
Words. This dramatically sped up both writing and reading because it turns out reading sucks a lot less when you don't have to stare at each absurd squiggle for hours.
So yeah, there you go.
Cool.
And number one, the Dark Ages were a real thing. Yep, the myth.
Myth.
The reality.
Ha, of course not. In a shocking twist, historians never had anything to do with the Dark Ages, although some were fooled into adopting the term. As we mentioned earlier, these days medieval historians tend to avoid it, preferring more neutral terms such as Migration Period, Early Middle Ages, or just Middle Ages, depending on which of the hundreds of different meanings of Dark Ages they're referring to.
So, yeah, basically this goes on to talk about what we talked about. That's another picture of Petrarch there,
Petrarch,
by the way.
Petrarch, where's his leaf hat?
I know, no leaf hat.
Petrarch, get your leaf hat.
Now look at his dapper here.
He looks a little bit more like somebody's grandma, too, or like an old Muslim lady in a
Yeah, he
hijab.
Really is fond of wrapping up his
head. He's a babushka,
cloth,
dude.
That much.
Yeah, dude, he is a babushka.
Where is he? There he
there
is.
There he is. That's way better look for him.
That's how I want to remember Petrarch.
He should never have
dude.
Left his house without yeah. his sprig of fucking
Why would you use
holly leaves?
This Petrarch picture when this Petrarch picture fucking exists? This Petrarch sucks. This Petrarch is like a close friend.
Yeah, that Petrarch is the one I want to believe is closer to reality.
So kind of like most history episodes, like there's
Hashtag
definitely like
not my Petrarch
that we've done. There's definitely like a grain of truth. There's definitely truths about that we are popularized and are known in popular culture. But a lot of it's kind of just like bullshit.
I mean, article is garbage Christian propaganda. All yeah. right, sorry about that.
I mean,
sorry.
Look, there is a fucking angle on that as well. There is a real desire amongst especially Catholics to paint the Middle Ages, even now, as a time that wasn't as bad as it was. The truth probably lies somewhere in the middle. The dismal picture that we all have of the Dark Ages, or what we know as the Dark Ages, probably some of that was true. It was true for a lot of people.
Fucking centrist piece of shit.
But you can't ignore some of the things that happened and some of the advances that
yeah,
were
I mean,
made.
It wasn't a perfect time by no. any means. But, I mean, what time is?
But look at the fucking tremendous collapse that preceded it. You know what I mean? Like, the Roman Empire was the glue that held everybody together on that continent. And then all of a sudden it's gone. And a barbarian horde is raping people in the capital. And it's like,
well,
kind of like who's going to fix the roads, though?
The glue that holds us together today. Is
the
Hostess
orange cupcakes.
Cupcakes
filling.
Excuse me, Paul.
Hostess orange cupcakes, natural flavors,
always fresh, always Hostess.
Yeah, so they always are too, dude. When you get these, when you pull them out of the little plastic tin thing that they come in, you got to be very delicate too, because you see that delicious orange icing on top. You don't want to break a piece of that off pulling them out. So you always got to squeeze from the bottom. But when it comes out, dude, that cake is moist. Not like wet, but just like
moist,
spongy, and a little bit sticky on the outside, just like you want a cake to be.
Yeah, man.
Every time I've gotten one. Every time.
Dude, I wonder what crazy chemical additive they put in to keep it so fucking fluffy.
Who cares?
I don't care either.
It's fucking
Dude,
delicious.
Paul is like an intimate, like, I feel like Paul's talking like an old friend.
I really do love these. These are my favorite
you
of the
like
fucking
You have like an intimate
relationship
with these fucking
I would
orange
take one of these
Hostess
over a,
cupcakes.
Yeah, these dudes right here are my shit. Dude, I love them. I've
what
loved
about
them
Paul?
Forever.
A fucking pepperoni pizza or one of these, dude. That's fine.
That depends on how hungry I am. Because if I'm super hungry, I'm going to take the pepperoni pizza.
What if you could have a pizza made with this, though? Like a dessert pizza made with orange Hostess cupcakes. Wouldn't that kind of meld the best of both worlds, Paul?
Yes. Yes.
Let's make it happen, TJ.
I need a Hostess orange pizza.
Let's make fucking Paul a Hostess orange cupcakes pizza with natural flavor.
Dude, I would eat the shit out of that, dude.
Natural fucking flavor,
I'm not
TJ.
Even joking either. I fucking love these
Oh,
things,
I don't think it'd be that hard to
TJ,
make,
TJ, look
even.
Me in the eye right now. I'd cut your throat for one of these.
Okay.
For
right
a
now.
Bite of one of these.
I mean, I respect that.
Yeah.
For a bite.
Yeah, just one fucking bite of one of these.
TJ,
right
what is
now,
your
TJ?
Favorite Hostess bullshit?
You know, I'm not really a huge fan, I guess, of Hostess.
Dude, mine's the Twinkie, dude.
Do they make the Cosmic Brownie, or is that Little Debbie?
I think that's
Little Debbie, dude.
I'm pretty sure it's Little Debbie.
Our sworn enemy, TJ.
But I like the Cosmic Brownie. It's
I would
good.
Cut your balls off and shove them down your throat for a whiff of a Cosmic Brownie.
A whiff.
Oh, just the smell?
Just the smell of a Cosmic Brownie.
Okay, all right.
I will enough. Fucking cut your balls clean all off, right. and I
dude.
Will shove them in your eye holes.
Fair enough.
Those ones that are like rolls. I'll tell you the one I did love. They're like rolls, but it's like they're chocolate and it's like in a little cylinder and it's like the filling.
That's the
in
one
it.
He was talking about earlier. Remember what was it?
What's it called?
Was it Ho-Ho's?
Ho-Ho's or no? Yeah, it was Ho-Ho's. Yeah, the rolled one.
Is it Ho-Ho's?
Yeah, it's a Ho-Ho.
Let me see a picture of it.
The one that's a cake roll with chocolate over it. It's a Ho-Ho. Yeah, I had this whole thing.
Oh fuck yeah, dude! That's the one, dude. That's the fucking one, dude. Oh,
dude, that was what
dude.
I got in my fucking lunch every day with my little brown
sack
lunch.
Oh, dude, you were a lucky boy, dude.
In grade
Fuck,
school.
Dude, I fucking loved the shit out of those as a kid.
Yeah, they were good.
Ho-ho.
God, dude, there's times I had a fucking entire box of ho-hos by myself.
I
gotta
mean,
eat them ho-hos.
I fantasized about doing it, but I never have. I've never had a whole box of ho-hos. Maybe I'll do that for myself one of these days. I'll be like, here's your childhood fantasy.
Here's your childhood fantasy come
to life. But I used to eat these one at a time, and they were pretty savory. Well, there's a cool thing you could do with these. You could remove that chocolate coating from these.
Oh, yeah.
And eat it separately, which
oh,
was
dude, of course,
I would
yeah.
always do.
Well, sometimes it would flake off, and you're like,
yeah.
And you'd always be like, well, dude, how would it feel if I ate all the chocolate off? Then
Stevie
I ate it,
is in the chat. He says, I like those little Hostess cherry pies.
I don't like the cherry ones, but I like the, is that the same thing as those fruit pies? No, it isn't. You know the fruit pies that I'm talking about? That all have like a filling in them, and they're sugary on the outside.
Oh,
they're about
yeah,
that
dude.
Big. There's like lemon and
there
berry.
There was a place around there called the Hubig's that made these pies. Another factory burned down
like, yeah,
like
those.
10 years ago.
This is what Stevie likes right here.
I don't like the cherry, but I like the lemon of that kind of
oh,
pie.
Lemon,
and I like
dude,
the berry
good.
Of that kind of pie, yeah. too. If I get one of each of those, dude, I'll eat them together.
So this has been our episode on the Dark Ages
and
Hostess. So thanks for
Paul's
tuning
in. Paul's like, ooh, I'd love to eat that. Oh, it looks
oh,
so
that
good.
Looks
I'm
good.
Fucking hungry, dude.
Let's go. Let's just go to the Hostess website and look at all of their fine products.
Oh, my God,
no.
dude. I'm
no,
doing
no,
it.
No.
Oh, my God,
TJ,
dude.
Just stop, TJ.
Why?
Stop, TJ.
You don't, we don't need
it's
to
the
stop.
Dark Ages, dude.
Yeah, the Dark Ages, dude.
The Dark Ages.
Let's look at the real Dark Ages.
Presented by Hostess.
The Hostess product lineup.
Love
America's original snacks, dude.
Is easy because you're
So
beautiful.
That's the whole range of what they're still doing here?
I don't know. Let's take a look.
Okay, so the cakes.
Twinkies
cupcakes.
Good.
Cupcakes.
Donuts, motherfucker.
Ooh, donuts.
Yeah, donuts are good.
Different
Whoa,
flavors
dude.
Of donuts.
Ho-hos.
Ho-hos.
In case you didn't know, no.
Mini muffins, snowballs, zingers, fruit pies, coffee cakes, cinnamon rolls, and
oh
honey
God.
Buns.
Oh, my God.
We'll get
all
you
of that
buns.
Stuff
Getting
is good.
Getting sticky with it.
Dude, as an even bigger aside,
these are just their cakes.
You know what used to be beautiful, TJ? I know you're gonna agree with me.
They got Hostess ice cream,
McDonald's cinnamon rolls, TJ. Oh wait, dude,
Ding Dong sandwich.
What?
Twinkie cone, snowball bar.
Dude, you can even be that gluttonous, dude.
Yeah,
dude, join the sweet list right now, TJ.
What sweet list?
Up in the top, dude. Join the sweet list is the last option. Look at it right there.
Join the sweet
it.
List. All right, I'll go join it in another window.
No, you won't.
I'm joining it. There you go, see? February. There we go.
Ding dong.
Wow, man. This is fucking crazy, dude.
Paul, as much as you like dicks, I think everyone thought ding dongs were going to be your favorite, dude.
Nope. I mean, the ding dong is all right. I'm not going to turn my nose up at a ding dong, you know?
Your info has been received, and a glorious welcome email will be sent to you shortly. While you wait, you should check out our products. Twinkies have been whispering.
Oh,
your
yes,
ear.
They have.
You're
tonight.
Right.
Your Hostess is right.
Dude, I don't think we can top it.
Hostess Nostis, bitch. Hell yeah. I want all of these.
I would eat all of this right now.
Look at all the varieties.
Yeah, the lemon. Look
There's
at the,
lemon.
Those pies are legit right there. That might be my second
all
favorite.
All right, TJ,
host
well,
shit.
You know what?
Cherry.
Hey, TJ, you know what? We wanted to examine gluttony, and we want to do that cereal episode. You know what
Apple.
We need to do? We need to do an episode on all these Hostess snacks.
Dude, I wanted it tonight. I was trying to
and
make it happen tonight.
And all the cereals, dude.
When Chelsea went to the store, I was like, bring me back one of every Hostess snack. And then they didn't have it. Fucking liars,
We were
going to
try them all.
Well, dude,
shit.
I'll tell you what, TJ. For the next episode,
my gorge runneth over.
TJ, for the next episode, I'll be bringing
Jesus.
All the Hostess snacks.
Dude, we're gonna do it. We're gonna have a full taste test of the entire range of these Hostess snacks.
Tasting you is easy, cause you'll be.
We'll mix in with the counterpart to this episode. Yes.
Yeah, bring awesome. The fucking Hostess snack cakes.
So if you want to see,
that, you got to go on Patreon.
If you want to see us put all these products head to head. And gluttonize.
On the next episode, along with our scheduled topic, we are also going to have the Hostess Taste Test Challenge.
Awesome.
Where we are going to eat one of each of these fucking delicious products.
Yep.
That sounds like fucking an amazing time. We're going to be sick as dogs.
We're
going to
die.
Oh, God, dude. I'm going to feel like shit.
We're gonna I think we'll pace it throughout the course of the episode. That'll be
dude, isn't the next
only?
Episode the day after Thanksgiving, too?
It is.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Dude, we're already going to be hurting from that. And then we're
going
to show up and
just
gonna like
keep
immediately
on going,
slam like one of every Hostess product.
That's right, Paul. Yeah.
That's American as fuck.
I know. I was about to play God bless this country.
That is, this is the best. This is going to be the best Thanksgiving I've ever had because usually the day after Thanksgiving
Paul, Thanksgiving's the warm up, dude. This year, Thanksgiving's the warm up, buddy. We're just getting started. Thanksgiving's just going to kind of be like, oh, Thanksgiving? Yeah, well, tomorrow I'm going to eat every fucking Hostess snack they make.
God bless America.
God bless America.
What a Thanksgiving.
Hell yeah.
Land that I love.
See you fucking pieces of shit later. Thanks for watching.
See you on Friday.
Subscribe if you ain't.